Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at hashtag NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/BehindTheRacketPod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now.
This is, you know, obviously back into the top 100 after this as well, but what's, are you most pleased about just the way you competed? Are you most pleased about Roland Garros main? What's the lasting memory from this week in Sarasota?
Yeah, probably, obviously the prize was a French Open main draw, a tournament where I've had, a Grand Slam where I've had my best success, but just proud of the way I competed and found a way. You know, I honestly came to this week thinking I might play a set and pull out. That's how much my foot was struggling. And if I had to play qualies, so be it. Yeah, I was in the MRI room pretty much the day before I played. I was really struggling. And then sort of match by match, it started to feel a little bit better. I was playing with some swelling and then just looking after it. So just really proud of the way I competed and found a way. You know, it wasn't pretty a lot of the week, but tricky conditions to play here, honestly. I just tried to out-scrap my opponent, and I honestly tried to think in the back of my mind, if I can play sort of somewhat close to my top level for periods and then just compete the rest of the way, I hope that'll be enough.
Yeah, that's always kind of a tricky thing for you, because obviously when you are coming down and playing at these challengers at this stage of your career, you're one of the two or three guys that everybody knows could win every challenger you're in. How are you just kind of managing that level of expectation, you know, 10 years after you've been on tour?
It's tough. You know, I realize that guys can play at this level as well. Like, a lot of guys that do well in challenges end up translating to good success on the tour. So I know that maybe dropping back and playing this, there's no guarantees I'm just going to breeze through the draw. You know, everything's going to be a struggle. You know, the guy first round played well above, and every week, every condition is so different, and it's just a constant adjustment. Every match, every opponent, like, how's your body going to recover? All of that is what goes into having a deep week. So that's the tricky part. But yeah, I do know my level's there to do well at challenges or ATP events. But yeah, I just got to try and stay focused. For me, focus is the biggest thing, and that's something I always struggle with. So I don't know what it is. If I can get that in check, maybe I'll be able to realize my potential.
Yeah, I realize your potential. I think you're doing okay. But let's talk about that focus, because today, this week, it was tested. And we'll talk a little bit about today in a second. But this week, it was tested. Conditions varied quite a bit through the week in terms of on court. The balls were moving a lot in the air. What was the biggest challenge in that regard of how you approached day to day, you know, especially considering you played four straight days here in Sarasota?
Yeah, it's just, I remember when I came here, I typically try and stay away from green clay, honestly, because I just do not feel comfortable on it. I was supposed to be in Europe, but something kind of messed up with my entries. I also met Steve in Miami. I'd met him before, but he said, look, if you come to Sarasota, we'll look after you and help you out, and they've been great. But the hospitality and everything was phenomenal here, but just, yeah, the conditions were tough. You know, you never quite knew what bounce you were going to get off the court. The balls were flying. It almost felt like you were playing in altitude a little bit. So kind of when to pull trigger on your shots and when to hold back. I kind of know I'm playing my best when I'm letting the ball go and kind of going after my shots, but I just felt here that if I do that too much, I'm just going to make errors galore. So I had to kind of pick my moments when I thought, for sure, I can hit a really good ball on this one, and then if the ball was coming at me, it was hard to take it on. So I just had to kind of play a little bit passive, a little bit percentage, and yeah, it was scrappy. Very windy, got delayed a bunch of days for various reasons. So yeah, very tricky, and again, very worthy opponents. So guys I feel like I'm one of the scalps at this level. Guys are always hungry to beat me, and so they should be, and it's tough. So I had to bring my best and try and be there every match.
There's a rare moment here today where you and Zizou were both playing to get into that top 100 mark, get into the French. That's a lot of weight for one challenger final, right? How did you approach that, especially when you were able to get that break early? And was that in your head at all? How did you kind of manage that pressure?
It's just, it's been one of these things sort of throughout the week and throughout, especially recently, the recent couple years of my career. I feel like maybe I have a lot of chances and I start playing the points where the big points and the big break points a little bit differently than I do to get those opportunities. And that's something that was just weighing on my mind. I had opportunities to break early in the second set, and I didn't take it. And, that had been kind of a pattern all week. It happened yesterday versus Markey, a match where I felt like I could have been able to kind of maybe get it done easier. Really struggled to kind of put the foot down, and that was just something I'm working on. But there's a lot of weight. It's hard, coaches are telling you just it's another match. Just play out there, go and play your best tennis. But it's a lot easier said than done. I know Zizou was playing for a lot today, and so was I. I didn't know if my match yesterday put me through French.
Got you to 100 live.
It put me in a good spot, but who knows, if Zizou beat me today, then I go push back one. The last thing you want to do is miss out one. We have Aussie Open wildcard, French Open wildcard as Australian, but I didn't want to rely on that either because I know how that goes sometimes. So I just tried to do my best. Zizou will make top 100 in no doubt. He's too good of a player. I know maybe the nerves got to him a little bit in the third, and they probably got to me a little bit in the second as well. So tennis is as much of a mental battle as anything, and luckily I got it today.
So with the tactical battle, he was doing, obviously that loose game in the first, you were up 3-love just like that. But then I thought he was really giving it to you there from that stretch on. Specifically, he was returning incredibly well to your backhand so that you weren't able to get that first ball forehand. Yep. How did you make adjustments or try to make adjustments, especially just to get those holds late in the first?
Yeah, luckily I came up with some big first serves when I needed to. He started pressing pretty well. When he got down the break, he started playing a lot more free and going after the ball. And it's, as I said, I found it hard to kind of really let my shoulders go and play free here just with the conditions. So I was almost kind of like a serve and then just like make the next one unless I have time. So it made it really tricky. When he's playing well, he's very aggressive, hits the ball pretty flat, and it's tricky. And then, I kind of let it go mentally in that second set. It hits the sort of mid-afternoon where it's almost impossible to see down one end, and I felt like my serve just went downhill quick. And then my coach looked at me and said, "Mate, it's just a 75. Like, try and play." I'm like, "Yeah, I wish it was that easy. You try and come out and play here."
Right, a 75 with a $75,000 paycheck.
Yeah,
there's little, French. No big
little
deal.
There's a little more to it than that. He started really pressing sort of back end of the first, and luckily a few big serves kind of were a bit of a pressure reliever. Wasn't able to capitalize early in the second, and then, brought it back together mentally in the third set.
Yeah, and that was really nice to be able to grab a couple of breaks there and just kind of cruise so that that pressure was decreased, I imagine.
I've played too many matches to know that one break isn't enough, especially on a clay court. So, going for that double and even triple break, it's always nice to break into to win the match. It takes a little bit of pressure off, or I can butcher a service game, as you saw yesterday. So definitely helps.
All right, a couple last questions here. Just talk about your coaching situation, how this is, obviously you were with Todd for so long, and how you're just kind of approaching it here as you head into the European clay court season.
Yeah, it's tricky. I started with, I had a few guys in mind, and honestly, Christian wasn't one of them when I went in Miami, but kind of Fraser's like, "I think you should meet this guy," and Fraser's my agent, and kind of see how it goes. We're still on a trial period. I had a tough match last week where I was up a break in the third, and again, I thought of French Open. It's so tricky. It's such a shit spot to be in, to be honest. I really need to kind of get out of it. But it's tough as well, because he's coming into a player who I think he sees there's potential there, but also he can't really say too much or change too many things because we haven't had any practice weeks or anything. So I'm kind of going straight into tournaments. So it's just a fresh face to compete. I love Todd. He's been my coach since I was 7 years old. A few things happened with him and his family to try and it's tough to travel every week, so I thought I needed someone else as well to help. And as I said, we're still on trial, and it's good. He came into a player who's struggling with an injury, so I haven't really been able to do much stuff off the court. So he's just trying to get me to the start line and trying to wheel me through the matches. So he did a great job so far.
Almost literally wheel you into the matches.
Yes, exactly. we'll see how it goes, but we'll travel to Europe as well and see how it goes from there.
Are you going to give yourself, and specifically that foot, a little bit of time to heal?
I need to at some point. I'm in Bucharest main draw. I'd have to fly tomorrow and get there Tuesday afternoon and play the next day. So, yeah, it should be a good week in Bucharest. And we'll see how we go. I'm planning to play there. I'll see how I pull up after the travel. I've got to make it to Europe at some point. Obviously, this win gives me a few options, but whether I go Bucharest, Madrid, and then skip the week in between Madrid and Rome, that's probably what it looks like, unless I get there and I'm absolutely cooked. But I do need to let my foot settle because it's battling a bit.
My last question for you. You and I met 2014 during this green clay stretch. It was you and Nick and Jason all coming over here and just a couple of punk kids.
Yeah.
That, how do you think 10 years later, as you've approached this week, how have you changed? What is the biggest thing? I don't know how much your game has progressed. Yeah. Has it been more personal? Yeah. What are you thinking back 10 years and where you are now?
You just learn so much over the last 10 years. You know, you never really know how your career is going to go or which way it's going to turn. You know, coming into these events, you know, I'd played a few challenges before and I was just young and hungry. Everything was new. And then just injuries, mental problems, I don't know, everything. Tennis takes you in so many different weird spots. So for me, it's just gaining some perspective and not taking anything for granted. I know I do at times, and I think we all do as tennis players. It's a really tough sport. I wish I knew a lot when I was younger, picking up the racket as I do now, but there's a lot of relief. And I think the biggest thing for me to take away when I'm all said and done is to just try and leave no stone unturned. You know, at least I can say I gave it everything. And then sometimes when I'm playing some events, you know, I feel like I don't compete as hard as I should have. And you look back at those wins and all those losses and you're like, oh, I could have done a little bit better there and that would have put me in best position. So that's probably the one thing that I'm trying to go. But just, gaining perspective on everything. You know, 10 years, time goes quick. And I think I'm starting to realize that. You know, I don't know how many years I have left. Who knows? People play till they're 35, others retire earlier. So I'm just trying to give my best every week if I can, and that'll be a win for me.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at Mike C. Tennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.